Every time you throw a plastic bottle into a recycling bin, do you get that ping of satisfaction, like you're doing your part? Well, as we've been talking about for the past few months, it's not that simple. Yes, some recycling is happening, but not as much as you might think. So for the next part of the show, we're going to take a look at plastic waste, even before it becomes that bottle. It's part of a collaboration with the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, D.C. Jamie Smith Hopkins spent months investigating the trail of plastics from production to recycling, including a visit to a recycling processing center in Berkeley, California.
We will get soda, juice, water bottles, milk jugs, detergent bottles, shampoo bottles, cups.
Jamie, who is that?
That's Martin Bork. He heads the Ecology Center, which collects residential recycling in Berkeley, California. The city used to sell its plastic food containers to China. In fact, for years, most of our country's plastic recyclables ended up there.
And of course, now China's saying no, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The problem is that a lot of that plastic couldn't actually be recycled, and China started cracking down. In fact, the Chinese factory recycling Berkeley's containers said it wasn't going to take those materials anymore as a result. So the city turned to a broker. That meant they didn't know where their plastic was ending up anymore. They thought they'd better figure it out.
We were very concerned, and we found an off-the-shelf GPS tracking device about the size of a deck of cards.
So they actually started tracking where their plastic was going through GPS?
Yes. In 2017, as the Chinese crackdown intensified, one of those trackers popped up in Malaysia.
And that's where the world's Patrick Wynn comes in. Patrick, you went to Malaysia to find out what happens to some of the plastic we throw out.
Yeah, it was a very disturbing and eye-opening trip. If you do feel that sort of twinge of self-satisfaction when you toss a plastic bottle in the recycling bin, then you definitely need to hear this. I've come to the Malaysian coast by the Straits of Malacca. Picture fat palm trees, humid sea breeze, tropical birds. We're in a truck, and I smell our destination before I see it, even with the windows up.
Oh, it's burning now. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I hop out of the truck, and I don't know what else to call it, but a wasteland. In this otherwise lush place, there's this flaming heap, gushing thick black smoke.
Wow, this is really bad.
The smell is really, really bad.
That is Tan Sihan. He works in construction, but in his free time, he tracks down illegal plastic dumps, like this one. As we wade in, warm goop sticks to our shoes. The smoke turns our eyes pink. He says, don't be embarrassed if you feel like throwing up.
You will feel like disgusting, okay? You will feel like want to vomit.
We start snooping around, picking through bales of plastic piled up on the roadside, some spilling out of shipping containers. And I do feel kind of sick, not just because of the fumes, but because all this stuff, it's from my country. Electrolyte drink from Target, a tub of Parmesan from Super Value, a Midwestern chain, and so many water bottles. Aquafina, bottled in California, some mineral water from Kroger, and sparkling water from Trader Joe's. And just to be super clear, there is no Trader Joe's on this side of the world.
Most of all this plastic, the main country actually is the USA.
I met Sihan through this network of Malaysians who spend their whole weekends tracking foreign plastic. And as I talk to more people, telling them, I feel bad seeing my country's trash here, they say, well, American guy, maybe you should feel bad.
American people, when you enjoy a lifestyle which is so convenient, do you think about what you dump to other people's country? Were you happy if I dump my rubbish into your house?
That is Hua Le Peng. She's a chemist by trade. In the last year or so, this area where she grew up, it's been invaded by these flaming plastic dumps, burning trash from the UK, Australia, France, but more than any place else, America. The nightmare here started in early 2018, when China started really driving out its most notorious recycling operators, as it had promised to do for years. It's all part of a drive against foreign waste called National Sword. But suddenly, all these strangers from mainland China begin showing up in Lei Peng's small hometown, and they start renting land. And soon, she says, black clouds appeared over the town, and a smell like, well, she says, you ever leave a hot iron on a nylon shirt for too long? It's like that, times a million. She says it brought mass sickness, headaches, chest pains, asthma. Even the butterflies dropped dead. It literally hurt to breathe.
And also when I talk more than 5 minutes, I feel very tired already. You know, I lost energy.
They put the pieces together pretty quickly. Followed the smoke, found the illegal sites, found the scrap marked with strange names like Trader Joe's. A few of the really bold residents tracked down dozens of these places and reported them to the local government. There were some raids, some shutdowns. But to Leiping's astonishment and frustration, they just pop up again and again.
Can you imagine that? This government has no function.
Sure enough, even I find a recycling factory that is supposed to be shut down. Yellow tape across the front and everything. Yet when I stick my head over the gate, I see a big machine grinding up plastic bottles and a big flaming burn pile out back. These criminals, they really do recycle a good amount of the foreign plastic. That's how they make money. Grinding it up, reselling it so other factories can make new stuff. It's just that so much of it is too contaminated to recycle, and that's what gets burned. I don't stick around here because sometimes these goons will come out. Not long ago, when Sihan was out on a scout with some others, some tough guys showed up, yanked the keys out of his truck, and told them to never come back. This is a secret cell phone recording from that day.
The mafia, okay, surround us, warning us, cannot enter this area anymore.
By mafia, he means local tough guys who are in cahoots with the Chinese importers. He says they're the ones who know how to bribe the inspectors, and they're the ones who'll threaten you if you go to the cops. He says they will send text messages saying stuff like,
"We know where your house, then we know where your children study."
And yet, people like Sihan and Leipeng, they are relentless. They have filed hundreds of reports. Leipeng shows me a Facebook message from someone she says is in the recycling underworld. It says, "Hey, there is a price on your head. 100,000 ringgit. It's about 25 grand. Her response? When you and everyone you love is breathing toxic fumes, you're already facing death. Yet all this work, going after Chinese criminals and their American plastic, is really stressing her out.
I just worried if my, you know, if my someone follow me and then he will do something to me.
I can never relax, she says. Even this interview, railing against her own country, she finds it embarrassing.
I don't want to criticize my country.
But if a stranger like me shows up with a microphone, someone from the country that is flooding her hometown with junk, she feels like she can't turn down the opportunity to tell Americans, please do the right thing and stop propping up this criminal underworld with your plastic trash.
To American so-called civilized people, you should not deliver to other countries. You should handle it in your own country.
Patrick, that's tough to hear, especially when the whole act of recycling, as you say, makes people feel like they're actually doing the right thing. What has to change to make this go right, and where does that change need to happen first?
Change probably needs to happen first in Western countries, but there is some good news coming out of that. Like China, Malaysia has said, we're not taking any more of your dirty, recycled plastic anymore. And if you send it here from places like America or Canada and we catch it, we're sending it back. Also, there is this convention signed by more than 180 countries that's all about rich countries dumping toxic waste on less wealthy countries. Well, they're now considering plastic to be toxic waste. And this is a convention that's signed by everyone from Canada to France to the UK to North Korea. But the United States has yet to ratify it. So these are all the issues that come out after you've thrown that plastic bottle in the recycling bin. But there are also all of these scary issues that come up before the plastic bottle even gets made.
Okay, so let's bring in Jamie Hopkins again from the Center for Public Integrity. Jamie, what's the problem on your end of the investigation?
So I was looking at the other end of the cycle, plastic manufacturing, which is in a boom in the U.S. at the moment, and the waste that can come from that. And what I started with was going on a nurdle hunt.
Is that a nurdle?
Yeah, that's a nurdle.
What's a nurdle?
Yeah, it's a really funny name. It's actually another way of describing a plastic pellet. These are the products of plastic producers, what they're sending off to manufacturers to be turned into plastic bottles or bags or other items. So I went with Jace Tunnell, who's with the University of Texas at Austin's Marine Science Center, to an island in the Gulf Coast to look for nurdles. It must have looked pretty odd because one couple stopped to ask what we were doing.
We're finding these, well, not this big one, but these little ones are little plastic pellets. That's the basis of everything plastic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so they're getting out into the environment, so we're trying to figure out where they're coming from. So we've got volunteers all over the Gulf of Mexico collecting numbers of them.
Okay, but what's the point of picking up these nurdles?
Well, what Jace Tunnel is doing, he is picking them up, but mainly what he's doing is he's tracking them. In fact, he started something called Nurdle Patrol, and he's asking volunteers, citizen scientists, to go out when they're at beaches and bays and look for 10 minutes to see, do they see any nurdles, and to count them to let him know. And nobody was tracking this in this region. And so as the numbers are coming in, what he's finding is that they're everywhere, in places that are nowhere near plastic processing facilities in some cases.
Clearly, it's not great having these nurdles all around, but are they actually harmful?
Well, so the problem with pellets is that they pose threats when they get out into the environment. That's not where they're supposed to be. Nobody wants them to be there, including the producers, since this is their product. But they do get out. And the issue is that marine animals mistake them as food, birds and fish, for instance, and that's not good for them. In some cases, these pellets end up picking up dangerous bacteria or toxic chemicals. But even if they're fresh and new, they don't have anything on them, they're filling up the stomachs of animals and making them feel full. Some animals have starved as a result. There's also this question that scientists are still investigating about what does it mean to have plastic, whether it's in pellet form or otherwise, in the food chain? What does it mean for us as human beings? And we don't really know that yet.
Jamie, I know you've also found out that the U.S. is about to make a whole lot more plastic. I'm wondering why, when there's this huge national conversation now about using less plastic.
Yeah, it's coming at sort of an ironic time. So if you ask plastic manufacturers and their trade groups, what they say is the world is growing, developing countries have larger and larger middle classes, and people want and need plastic. But if you want to know why is this happening in the U.S., where the market is already, you know, pretty well saturated with plastic, the answer is there's a lot of cheap natural gas, and natural gas is key feedstock for plastic. You know, if you ask analysts, they say that's why this is happening here, and since a lot of it is aimed to be shipped somewhere else, particularly to Asia, the production is happening here because the feedstock is cheap.
But in reality, is there even a need for all this new plastic?
That's the debate. And it's not just about should we be using something other than plastic for packaging like paper. Sometimes the debate is just do we need all the packaging we have? Could we do this better? It's a critical one, especially for the countries that are finding themselves, you know, really sort of overwhelmed by plastic waste.
Let's get personal here. What am I supposed to do as a consumer and as a citizen? I mean, I want to use less plastic, but it's hard to avoid. So say I use a plastic container. Should I put it in the blue bin or should I just put it in the regular trash? I mean, is that a more responsible way to handle it at this point? Let's start with you, Patrick.
Yeah, Carol, I think I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I think the absolute worst take here is, oh, the system is just so screwed up that I won't even recycle. Don't do that. We can't become cynical about recycling, especially as voracious as American consumers are. See what your city is doing. And maybe they're recycling stuff in America and doing it properly. Maybe they've been sending it over to this part of the world in Asia, but they're just now realizing that that's wrong. And so now is a time of upheaval where we're starting to realize this is happening. You can feel free to nudge them in the right direction. But I will say this, the cost of recycling in America and doing it properly and safely, it's going to be much higher than having it done by desperate workers in Southeast Asia. So if your city says, we want to do this here at home, but your fees are going to go up, that may be the cost of a less cruel world so people overseas don't have flaming plastic smoldering in their backyards.
Jamie, I'm curious, after all this research you've done about plastic and where it ends up, has it changed your own kind of buying and consuming habits?
Well, it certainly means that every time I'm deciding, does it go in the trash or does it go in the recycling, it seems like a much more fraught decision than it used to. You have to be aware that just because, for instance, there might be the Chasing Arrows recycling symbol on your plastic doesn't mean that your jurisdiction accepts it in recycling. So I feel like I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what can I actually recycle? Is there a way for me to deal with my plastic bags? Can I avoid plastic bags? I think it's something that a lot of people now are starting to think about in ways that we really didn't before.
Jamie Smith Hopkins is with the Center for Public Integrity in Washington, and the world's Patrick Wynn has been speaking to us from Bangkok. Thank you both.
Thanks.
Thanks, Carol.
You can read more of Jamie Smith Hopkins' deep dive reporting on plastics at theworld.org.